Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Could not be. Children live in poverty and hunger. How can we pretend that we don't see? Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. Another question. In a world so full of hope for tomorrow, shattered dreams surround us every day. People live in sickness, pain, and sorrow. How can we just turn and walk away? Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. And then comes the answer. We have the love of God to share. Through our faith, we can show the world we care. We need to serve as God commands, joining hearts, joining hands with people everywhere. Kyrie eleison. The words the choir sang this morning are so pertinent to what Bob has been sharing with us over the last couple Sundays about the importance of words. Words are so powerful. Last Sunday, he shared with us about the power of words, particularly in school and in our vocational lives, out and about in the community. And he shared with us a wonderful scripture from Ephesians 4:29. And I'm going to ask if we could put that scripture up on the board today. And this scripture is so wonderful, and it's so pertinent to what we were talking about last week, that once again, as Bob did last week, I would like for us to read this all together. So let's start. Don't let any foul words come out of your mouth. Only say what is helpful when it is needed for building up the community so that it benefits those who, wait for it, hear what to say. For those who hear what we say. How powerful those words are and how they reflect on our lives both here and in our community. Today we're going to be looking at the power of words and how they relate to us as family and friends, specifically, though, in our family setting. And I want to start by telling a short story. And this story has something it's a real story. It happened yesterday. And it has to do with the power of words. Lewis and I come down here and we work a lot. We're usually here 3 and sometimes 4 days a week. And so yesterday we came in, as we usually do on Saturday, and when we got here, there was a whole party going on out on the front steps. I mean, there were 7 or 8 guys and maybe a couple women. I couldn't really see as we were watching, but they were having a big time out there. I think there was some cooking going on and some other stuff. And as being judicious to our neighbors and to our neighborhood, we have to ask people to leave our campus if they are here at an inappropriate time and maybe hanging out or loitering. And so Lewis and I went up and we said, I'm sorry, everybody, we're going to have to ask you to leave the campus. Everyone, it seemed, accommodated immediately and said, oh, yes, thank you so much. And as far as we know, they left. And we came in here and did about 2 hours of work. When we were finished with our work, we went back outside, and as we always do when we're here, we secure the building. And so we walk around the building, making sure all the doors are shut and they're tight and everything's cool. And we came around the front, and there was still one person here who had been here earlier. And so with the same admonishment, we said, we're sorry, you need to leave the campus. And just to let you know, we can't leave until you do. So you're going to have to leave. Unfortunately, at that moment, things went downhill very quickly. The person became very aggressive, very angry, yelling our words back at us, and adding a few other really spectacular expletives to the conversations. The conversation went even as far as to pointing to Lewis and I and gay-baiting us and calling us faggots and queers and threatening to expose himself. And so you may know this or not, the San Diego Police Department is really inundated with this kind of scenario, and it gets larger and larger quantumly as the years go by, and the homeless move here from other places because our weather is very nice. And so we were not able to contact police yesterday to get them to come. The lines were busy, and they said it may be 45 minutes or an hour before we can get to you, and you need to maybe call back tonight at midnight and share your concern, because that's when we're not busy. We stayed as long as we possibly could, the gentleman yelling at us the whole time, and then we had to leave because we had to go to a wedding. Well, when we left here with very heavy heart. And we understood that this person was a person that maybe wasn't in charge of their full mental facility. We understood that this person, it looked to us like was drinking and had been drinking. It looked to us like possibly this person had been involved in some drug use recently. And so we tried to put what happened in the context of that as we drove away, including our concern for the neighborhood and our concern for the church. Unfortunately, as you well know from experiences that you've had in your lives, it's very hard to let that go. And I have to tell you, there was some anger inside of me. I wasn't being very Christ-like with what I was thinking inside. And I expressed some of that to Lewis, and thank God Lewis is in my life, because Lewis has a way of putting it in context and talking me down. But it still kind of sat there for the next couple hours, even to the point that in the wedding, I was sitting there thinking about it until the pastor asked us all to stop and pray for the couple. And at that point, I bowed my head and I said, God, please help me to release what I'm feeling right now. Please come in and dwell in me and help me not to feel the feelings that I'm having. And help me to focus on this beautiful company, this beautiful couple, who, by the way, was Rodney and his new wife, Melody. And it just lifted at that point, and I was able to enjoy the rest of the day in the company of Lewis and the wonderful people that we were with at this beautiful wedding at First Presbyterian Church. All that to say that we go through that, and there are times when we are weak. There are times when it's very hard for us to put it in context and to say, this doesn't bother me, I have to understand where it's coming from, but it's still hard. I think today's scripture helps us to place that in context. I'm going to ask you to come forward and read that scripture right now, please.
But now set aside these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene language. Don't lie to each other. Take off the old human nature with its practices. Therefore, as God's choice, holy and loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against anyone, forgive each other. As the Lord forgave you, so also forgive each other. The peace of Christ must control your hearts, a peace into which you were called in one body, and be thankful, people. Know this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to grow angry.
Wow. Was that scripture? Yeah. Thank you, Ben. That scripture went right here when I had a chance to read that this morning. And I assume it speaks to you as well. I'm just kind of feeling that from you right now. So what we're going to do is we are going to do an exercise today that's really kind of centered and focused on this scripture. And it will allow us to have some conversations with people around us about maybe some experiences that we've had, both maybe negative experiences and maybe positive experiences as well. So I'm going to couch those in questions to you in a few minutes and give you some significant time to talk about that. Now let me set it up. When I send you into groups, I want you to get together in groups of three or four. Okay, now you might wonder, Ron, why groups of three or four? And this is where the school teacher comes into play here. I want you to do groups three or four because when it's a smaller group, there's a whole lot more opportunity for everybody to engage in the conversation. And often if there's five or more, it's easy for somebody to sit back and say, well, I'll just listen. Or maybe I can't get a word in edgewise. So if we go into groups of three or four, it's much easier to get that word in edgewise, isn't it? So when I say go, I'm going to have you go into those groups, and you can self-identify those groups, and we can have those conversations. Now, I want to give you a caveat that Bob sent along with me today, and these are really great and powerful caveats to discuss. So here's the first one, and this is the first one we're going to talk about. You'll have about 3, maybe 4 minutes to talk about this. Here it is. What are or were the family dynamics in either your current family or your family of origin? So you can be talking about your family right now, or you can talk about maybe your family of origin when you have this conversation. This could include conversations about maybe the favorite topics that you had to talk about, positive or negative habits, common phrases that you heard in the home, and where each person sees or saw themselves in the family system. Now, I want to make sure that you have a quick example of what that might look like. So for me, when I was a kid, I hated practicing. And as you all know, those two to three years when you're beginning sound just awful. Not just to you, but to everybody around you. It sounds awful. That's when most people hear this comment, oh, you can't sing. Or, oh, you can't play. That's a very unfortunate thing, because after those first 3 years, things get way better really pretty quickly. So I hated practicing, and I'd kick the piano and go, I don't want to do this, Mom, I don't want to, I'm so angry. Bob's out playing hockey. This was in Minnesota. Bob's out playing hockey, and I want to be out there playing hockey. And she'd say, well, yes, you can go out later, but for the next 15 to 20 minutes, you're going to practice. And if you practice, you will receive this handy-dandy little brownie at the end at the end of your practice time, and Bob won't get one, but you will. My mother was Pavlovian, even when we were kids. Who knew? And I did salivate the entire time I was practicing. So there you go. I got that brownie, and it was enough impetus to keep me doing it. That's kind of one of the positive rituals that happened in my life. I wouldn't concern this next one a negative ritual, but it was a ritual that you wouldn't believe this. I flunked everything through the seventh grade, literally flunked everything through the seventh grade. People go, well, Ron, you're a professor. I'm here to tell you, I flunked everything through the seventh grade. And in all the love she could muster, and in all the compassion and angst that she could muster, Mom sat me down one day, and she looked me in the eye, and she got that Lily Tomlin look on her face. You know, Lily Tomlin, the telephone operator? That kind of looked like this. Uh-huh. And even a snort. You know what I'm talking about? Those of you who know the telephone operator, the people under 40 are going, what? But most of you know what I'm talking about. She got that look on her face, and she said, Ron, if you don't pull it together, you're going to spend your life digging ditches. And she said it just like that. And I know she didn't say it out of meanness. I know she didn't say it out of I think there was some anger there. But she didn't say it out of meanness. But it was part of what really lifted the veil for me and made me start thinking about my life. So that's an example of two things that you might want to think about. You're going, well, I don't know. You've got a bunch of them in you, and you're going to find out when you get into your groups of three or four that you have them there. So remember, our caveat is this. It is, what are or were the family dynamics in either your current family or family of origin? Things that you remember, both positive and negative. Get in your groups and go. All three of these powerful messages of nurturing. How we received nurturing messages, both positive and positive messages that were able to overcome messages of negativity that may have been in our lives. Let's go back and just look at that scripture for one moment. The scripture said, but now set aside these things, such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and obscene language. Don't lie to each other. Take off the old human nature with its practices. Telling us that God wants us to be his servants of positivity. He wants us to use language in a way that will be nurturing and supportive to each other. I have to tell you, in this congregation, I have felt that so many times. I think this is a congregation that's already practicing that. And I know that sometimes I'm weak and that I fall and I falter where that's concerned. But through the grace of God, each And every one of us can be servants of the positive word.
To the prayer, as I come before you with the prayers of the people and the pastor's prayer. O gracious God, we are thankful for this worship service and being here today. We ask for a continued prayer for our pastor Bob and his health, and pray that he be back here among us. We know that, Lord, sometimes our words are hurtful, and sometimes we have to hear hurtful words. But I pray that God be over this community of faith, and that we show words of kindness and love to help build our community and be continued servants and disciples of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to bring these prayers before you, that you hold them within your heart and throughout the week, and that God may comfort you, and that you could go on your ways, and that we can unite together with the prayer that Jesus Christ has taught us, as we pray the prayer that he taught us out loud together.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.